You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari, where NFL legends live on. Back to you, boys.
It's him. He's alive.
And now back in making his 10th appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is Florida A&M head coach Willie Simmons. Let me remind you about Willie's background. He's from Quincy, Florida. In college, he played quarterback for 3 years at Clemson and finished his final season in 2003 at the Citadel in order to be a little closer to home, take care of mom. Following that 03 season, he was named first-team All-Southern Conference. 2006, he went back to Clemson to start his coaching career as a graduate assistant on Tommy Bowden's staff. From 2007 to 2011, he moved over to Middle Tennessee State as their running backs coach and later took over as offensive coordinator. He spent 2012 to 2014 as the offensive coordinator for Alcorn State before accepting the head coaching job at Prairie View A&M. Over his 3 seasons there as head coach, he led the Panthers to a 22-11 record. He is now, like I say, the head coach of Florida A&M. He's been a wonderful friend of the show over the years. He's a member of our 2018 Guest Hall of Fame class. I've got my Florida A&M t-shirt right here, and I'm very excited. We're very excited. He's back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Willie, Chris, and Bob, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
It's going well.
Thank you.
Tell us about you. Talk about Florida A&M. Talk about your season. How you feeling so far?
Well, feeling a lot better now. Wasn't feeling so well a couple of weeks ago. We opened the season against Central Florida, and obviously they've done a phenomenal job there. They're ranked in the FBS top 20, highest ranked mid-major program in America, and opened up the season against them. Didn't have a very well showing, but again, the guys responded well. Last week, we had a bye week, actually week two, and I had a really good week of practice, and we had 4 good days this week as we prepare for our first home game this Saturday at 6 p.m. versus Fort Valley State. So looking forward to trying to get back into winning ways and continuing to build and grow this program up to the level that's expected here at Florida A&M. And just, again, excited about the opportunity and getting ready for Saturday.
Willie, talk about some of the players you've got on team. As I was looking over some of the preseason stuff, your quarterback Ryan Stanley, running back Deshaun Smith, both on the preseason second team All-MEAC team. And you look over on the opposite side, you got a defensive back and that looks outstanding as well. Also a part of the All-MEAC team. Your punter is on there. And you also signed a 5-star recruit, a former Under Armour All-American, Calvin Ashley, to come on as a tackle to the team. So it looks like you've got a lot of talent on both sides of the ball and on special teams as well. So talk about some of the players you've got and the things that you're looking for out of them.
Well, we obviously, anytime you take over a program, you naturally want to hit the road and start recruiting and try to build up your talent and your roster. And we've been fortunate being here at Florida A&M, in a hotbed of talent here in the state of Florida, to attract some really good student athletes. And as you alluded to, we had 12 players selected preseason all-conference, more than any other team in our conference. Ryan Stanley, our starting quarterback, is about 1,200 yards shy of breaking the school all-time passing record. And I expect him to do that probably in the next few games. And, Calvin Ashley was a huge addition for us this year. Like I said, first 5-star recruit that I can remember. If we had one in the past, they'd have to dig through the archives and find them. But Calvin Ashley joined us midway through training camp and got cleared after the UCF game. So this will be his first game in action for us. Marquise Bell was a 4-star Under Armour All-American coming out of high school from Maryland. He joined us this past spring and has had a really good game against Central Florida. And again, just a very talented roster. Again, we're fortunate to have some returning guys that we inherited that were really good players. And we've been able to increase the talent on the roster with some of the signees and transfers that we've been able to bring in. So on paper, really good team. Picked to finish third in the conference this year, which is higher than we were last year. So the program is trending in the right way. And just got to, put all the things that we do, the little things that we talk about on a daily basis, together on the field to put a good product out there. And that's something that these guys are learning to do, learning how to win in everything, not just in football. We have a saying that the way you do anything is the way you do everything. And so if we want to be champions on the field, it first starts with having championship habits off the field, in the classroom, in your personal lives, in your spiritual lives, the whole nine. And that's kind of the philosophy of this football program here at Florida A&M.
Willie, last year you guys finished 6-5 overall, and those six wins were the most by the program since 2011. This year, when you've got goals, I don't know if you put them up on a bulletin board, if you pull them up on a whiteboard or wherever you do, what are some of the goals you've got that you're trying to keep your players focused on?
Well, you know, again, when it comes to goals, I think people take different philosophies. Like you say, some people post them up so they can see them every day. We talk about some of our program goals. My number one goal here is to build a championship culture. You know, build a program, like I tell the guys, every year, whether it's high school, junior college, or transfer, they're going to be guys that we add to this program. And I ask them a very simple question. What type of locker room are they going to walk into? Are they going to walk into a locker room full of guys that, you know, take shortcuts, that look for the easy way out, that doesn't know how to handle adversity, that are selfish individuals? Or will they walk into a locker room full of guys who are self-motivated, who are driven to be the very best that they can be, who take pride in going to class every single day and making all their academic appointments, you know, going to study hall, all the little things that it takes to be a great student athlete, to be a great person? You know, do you do those things? And that's our number one goal. Of course, we have some program goals as far as winning a MEAC championship. You know, again, winning the Black College National Championship, you know, continuing our winning streak. Like you said, last year was our first winning record in over 7 years. So we definitely want to continue that. But again, none of that happens if we don't build a championship culture that will sustain itself for years to come. And so everything we talk to our guys about, is about that, about those little things that it takes to be successful. And we have a saying that the little things obviously will take care of the big things. So we don't post that around. That's just kind of our everyday philosophy, that we're going to be a team that focuses on the little things, does all those things right, develops championship habits, and then we feel like the wins, the accolades, the championships, all those things will follow.
Bob, questions for Willie?
Yeah, Willie, it's great always to have you on. We've talked in the past how great an athlete you were back at Shanks High School, and I'll ask you what I did to LaVon Kirkland about even before high school. Your youth, Willie, and the sports you were involved in, did playing certain sports and different sports make you a better athlete, and is that the type of athlete you might want to recruit, somebody that's very well-rounded?
I think so. Of course, growing up in Quincy, Florida, a small town, small community, there wasn't much else to do, you know. So really, playing sports kept most of us out of trouble, for lack of better terms. So we grew up playing, you know, football, straight from football to basketball, straight from basketball to either track and field or baseball. So I played all three sports: football, basketball, and baseball, from the age of 8. All the way through my junior year in high school. And once I finally got to my junior year, I started getting recruited in football. I saw that I was going to be a Division I football player, and I felt I needed to gain weight. And so obviously going from sport to sport, I wasn't gaining the weight that I wanted to gain. So I dropped basketball and stuck to football and baseball. But I think that, you know, playing multiple sports, you know, again, it just keeps you not necessarily in shape, but it keeps you being around the game, being around sports, just being active. And the things that being on a team teaches you, it's hard to get that in other places. And so, you know, having to be a team player, having to be unselfish, having to make the sacrifices to get the practice on time, to put the extra work in, you know, all of those little things that, you know, it takes to be a really good player, I think it's good to see that as much as you can. And when you're able to, a lot of times when we evaluate guys, we make our determination on what they do on the basketball court. You know, again, you might have an offensive lineman or a defensive end, you know, and you kind of see some attributes, but then you go and watch them play basketball, and you're like, wow, like this guy can really get up and down the court. Or this guy has great lateral movement. He's staying in front of a shooting guard, you know. So those other sports are playing baseball. You see that he has great hand-eye coordination. He can track a deep ball. He's a receiver. He can track a fly ball in the outfield. You know that he has great ball skills and things like that. So I really think it helps you really evaluate guys. And I would encourage anyone, to play as many sports as they can, as long as they can, as long as it doesn't impede or, you know, prohibit them from really being great at the one sport they choose. But, you know, yeah, I wouldn't want to limit my kids to saying, well, you have to pick between football, basketball, baseball, you know, right, track and field, whatever the case may be. They'll be well-rounded. And then once you get a little bit older, junior year, senior year in high school, you'll start to see where you get the most interest, and that's the one you may want to focus on.
And Willie, Chris and I always marvel again at your the importance you place on just the out-of-the-classroom stuff. And you talk, you not only talk the talk, I mean, you were one of these guys, got a degree from Clemson in just over 3 years. So the guys that probably play for you might be looking at a guy they probably should look up to. But I'm sure when guys come to you, maybe even years after they stop playing and say, hey, coach, I finally got my degree from whatever school and this year, that probably gives you just as much satisfaction as any win on a Saturday.
Well, actually, it gives you more, you know, because like I told the guys, we had this talk yesterday, you know, again, football, we don't really determine how far we go in this game. You know, a small percentage of us, you know, LeVon was one of those guys who was able to walk away from the game on his own accord. You know, the vast majority of us, the game's taken away from us before we're ready. Either you're not good enough to make it to the next level. If you do make it to the NFL, eventually you may get cut or released and not signed again. So a very small percentage actually get to walk away from the game, retire, you know. But all of us who have the opportunity to go to college has a chance to get a degree that will last you a lifetime, that no one can ever take away from you. And so that's the most rewarding thing that these young men and women, you know, if you coach a women's sport, can accomplish during college, that they, you know, show that they can persevere through 3, 4, 5 years of college, that they can learn, you know, a trade or craft, or something that they can do for the rest of their lives. Because, you know, like I tell the guys all the time, if you're blessed and fortunate enough to have a great career, and I think anybody would agree that a 10-year NFL career is a phenomenal career. But like I tell the guys, if you have a 10-year career, when you retire, you're 33 years old. I mean, you have so much life left to live. You can't start even drawing your pension until your retirement age around 65. And by the time they get up, it's probably going to be 75. And so what are you going to do in that meantime with that gap? What are you going to do for the next 30 years before you can start drawing your pension? You have to go get a job. You have to start a career. You have to make money for your family. And that's what that education is going to do for you. So I tell them all, I said, you guys have the misfortune of playing for a guy who was raised by an educator, playing for a guy who graduated college in 3 years. You know what I mean? So I understand the value of it. And they're going to hear about that every single day, about going to class, about sitting in the front, about, you know, getting to know their professors, about making their study table hours, about going to tutoring, and all the resources that they have at their disposal, taking full advantage of it, because that's really what it's all about. And if you have a chance to win championships and go professional after that, that's icing on the cake. But that degree is the most important thing that you can do with your time during those 3, 4, 5 years.
Willie, taking that just a little bit further, right? Do you explain to them, you know, how you did it, how you graduated in 3 years, what the habits are that you have to, you know, create for yourself, how you go about organizing and arranging your day, staying disciplined to what those things are, staying regimented to, you know, getting up for early in the morning when if you have practice or weightlifting or all those sort of things, and then going to class and then going to study hall and then coming back and doing this. Do you really set it out for them and explain to them how you did it and this is the way that you can be successful in life, not just on the football field?
Well, it's exactly what I tell them, and I alluded to it earlier without saying. The way you do anything is the way you do everything. And so the same principle, like I tell them, you know, guys, one of the main questions that guys will ask if you bring in a guest speaker, you know, a owner of a company or, you know, someone that works for Fortune 500, they will ask them, well, what's the key to success? That's one of the main questions that I hear guys ask. And I tell them, guys, there's no secret. It's the same formula, whether you're a football player, whether you're a CEO, whether you're a teacher or a sports broadcaster, whatever it is. It's the same principles, that you're disciplined, that you work hard at what you do, that you pay attention to the details, that you have goals for yourself, And that's the same as a football player. So when you go to class, guess what? It's the same thing. You have to wake up every morning with a purpose. You have to wake up with that drive to say, I'm going to go to all my classes today, no matter how tired I am, no matter what's going on in my life. I'm going to class today. I'm going to sit in the front of the class today. I'm going to take good notes. I'm going to read over those notes again once I get out of class or rewrite them. The same thing that we're asking you to do as a football player. Don't come to a position meeting unprepared. You can't come to a position meeting without notes. You can't watch film and make the corrections without taking notes. And when you leave, you should read those notes again. You should watch extra film. You should do extra study time in the classroom. So it's the same concept. And so the message for our guys is develop championship habits. That's the one word we use probably more than any other word in the program. It's habits. You have to develop winning habits, and those habits will carry you through life. They'll carry you through school. They'll carry you as a football player, whatever you choose to do, because if you work hard, you probably work hard at everything. I haven't met someone who works hard as a coach, but they're lazy in other aspects of their lives. I haven't met someone who's committed to being a great father. That's a poor coach. Like, they all go together. And so if we develop those habits every day, then I think we'll be successful in all the different realms that we have in our lives. And that's what we try to convey to our young men every day. And most of them are starting to really get it. You know, we're raising our academic profile there at Florida A&M. And we just have to keep driving that message home until we all get it. And when we do, I think you'll see a huge shift in the paradigm of what's going on there at this university.
Willie, you talked about, video and notes and all of those things. Talk about your weekly preparation from a football standpoint. How much time are you looking back at last week's game to see, you know, where we got corrections that need to be made, where we made some mistakes, and bringing that to the players to coach them up based on, hey, here's what happened. You went here, you should have done this, or here's what he did, so you need to do this next time. How much do you look back at last week and then versus preparing for the opponent coming up the following Saturday?
Well, we have a 24-hour rule here at Florida A&M. So we play on Saturdays most of the time. The UCF game was a Friday, Thursday night game, so that was a little bit different. But if we play on Saturday, win, lose, or draw, hey, enjoy it. Have a good time on Saturday night. Hopefully we win. Hopefully we can celebrate a little bit. But then when you come back at 1 p.m. on Sunday for weights and treatment, it's put to bed. So we're going to watch the game at 3 with the coaches position-wise. And then we're going to meet at 4 to go through the scout report for next week's opponent. So at that point, the game is over. I'll give a brief synopsis of the game at 4 p.m. And we'll talk about what we did well. We'll talk about what we didn't do well. But at that point, we put it to bed and we go to next week's opponent. I think you have to be careful not to dwell on the past, because again, you have a big win. Well, they're riding the high of that win. All of a sudden, you're not focusing on the next week's opponent. You have a loss. Well, you're soaking in that loss and you keep getting reminded of how poorly you played. You're not focusing on next week's opponent. And so we took a pretty embarrassing loss week one. Well, guess what? We came back the next day. Well, a few days later, we had a bye week, but we came back. When we got back in, we talked about the game. We talked about what we did well, what we didn't do well, and what we have to do moving forward. And that's been my philosophy in life. You know, let's look ahead. Let's look at what we can do to get better. What can we control? We can control our approach to today. How do we prepare today? Not next Saturday, not when the game comes, but what can the old saying, like Nick Saban says, be where your feet are. That means focus on what's right there in front of you, which is how locked in are you to this meeting that we're having right now? What's on your mind at this very moment that allows you to focus on what you have to do this coming week in the game, in class, in life? What are you thinking about right now to get you prepared for those moments? And if we can continue to do that, not look behind, not look too far ahead, but look at what's right there in front of our faces, then I think we can stay focused on what our goals are. You know, sometimes we lose sight because we're looking far ahead, left, right, all over the place, instead of paying attention to what's right there in our face, and that's the only thing that we can control.
Bob, one more for Coach before we let him go.
Yeah, sure, Willie. We've talked in the past to guys like Tony Reno, the coach at Yale, about just the rigors of college coaching. You guys have your eyes on both the off-the-field stuff, the classroom stuff, obviously the X's and O's and long work days, And I think what gets lost in the translation a little, Willie, is your families. How cooperative your families at understanding your families have to be. You have four children and a wife you must adore for what she does. Talk a little bit about balancing this and how the family deals with it all.
Well, it's probably the toughest aspect of coaching. We pour so much of our time into these 105 men every day. I mean, during football season, even in the off season, it's a nonstop job. I mean, your phone's always ringing. They have all these needs. I mean, you're trying to do the best you can to make sure these guys are taken care of. You know, you're checking on the academics. You're asking them about their personal lives. So you really pour your heart, your soul into these young men. And most of them that we coach, unfortunately, don't have both parents at home. A lot of them come from inner cities or you know, areas where it's not very affluent. And so we have to really do our best to keep these guys afloat. And while we're doing that, we have our families back at home, you know, and again, I commend my wife. You know, she made a commitment. My wife has 2 degrees and she has her master's degree and she's almost 75% done with a PhD, but she made a decision for our family to be a stay at home mom, to not work. She had worked for 15 years before we got married and she made a decision to say, okay, we're having kids and we don't want to have you working 18-hour days. I'm out working somewhere and we don't have a clue who's raising our children. And so she made a decision 4 years ago to be a stay at home mom. And that's a huge sacrifice that she made for the sake of our children, because she knows that I'm not here as much as, you know, someone who works a 9-to-5 will. So it's a huge sacrifice. The work that they do, I think if you ask any coach who has a family, the relationship or the dynamic that they have with their wives and children is really what makes us go. I mean, it's not the wins, it's not the losses. It's having a wife who really understands and gets it. You know, who knows that, hey, I got to be up early in the morning. When I wake up in the morning, even now, I'm the only, me and my 13-year-old daughter are the only ones awake. My wife is still sleeping. The 2 and the 4-year-old are still asleep. I'm walking out the door, kissing everyone goodbye. And when I come home most nights, they're in bed because it's after 9 o'clock. And that's from really August until mid-November. And for FBS coaches, sometimes that's all the way through January. And then you turn around and what's next? Boom, you're back in recruiting. You're on the road 4 or 5 days out of the week, going out trying to sign the next crop of student athletes. And so it's a full-time commitment. It's a full-time sacrifice that they have to do. And again, I commend any coach's wife, any family that really puts up with this, because they embrace us, they support us, they show up at games. They do for these kids. I mean, make little goodie bags for them, for the players. And so that makes me, that allows me to get up every day with a great attitude, knowing that my wife fully supports what I do, that she's 100% behind me being the head football coach at Florida A&M. Now, it doesn't hurt that it's her alma mater and she wants to win. She wants her alma mater to be successful, you know. But again, wherever I've been, Middle Tennessee, Alcorn, Prairie View, and even here, she's been 100% supportive. And that means more to me than anything in the world. So it is truly a sacrifice. And again, I commend any family, whether you're a high school coach, college coach, or professional coach, because of the hours that we put in and the sacrifices that we make and ensuring that, you know, not just our immediate family, but the 105 men that we have the privilege to coach every day are able to have a great life because of what football can do for them.
Willie, before we let you go, remind our listeners how they can continue to follow you, follow the program, whether it's online, it's on social media, and then take a look ahead, you know, obviously to your game this weekend against Fort Valley State.
Oh, definitely. No question. Our athletic website is FAMU Athletics. That's FAMU Athletics.com. And obviously when you go on the page, you click the sports link. Find football, you can search rosters, you can look at our schedules, look at stats, stream games, the whole nine. And so again, FAMUathletics.com. You can follow me on most social media outlets, Instagram, Snapchat, at HC as in head coach, Willie Simmons. And of course, the Facebook is just my name, Willie R. Simmons. And I typically don't do much more than those three platforms. Try to stay pretty active on social media. It's a little bit tougher during the season, but try to retweet things and stay up to date and highlight our players. But But those are the three main web platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, HC Willie Simmons, and then Willie R. Simmons on Facebook. And FAMUAthletics.com is a website to follow all FAMU sports, not just football, but all 16 sports that we have here at the university. And our new SID, he's doing a phenomenal job of updating our website.
Well, Willie, you know Bob and I are always right here in your corner. We'll be there for you, rooting hard for the Rattlers all season. You mean a great deal to us. We are very blessed to know you. We certainly wish you a lot of success. We wish the team a lot of success. And hopefully we get the privilege of catching up with you again a little bit later on in the season. But you're fantastic.
Hey, as always, it's a pleasure, guys. And I really appreciate what you guys do. I can't thank you enough. I say it all the time. But, I mean, you're two of the best guys doing it. You know, genuine guys and very supportive. And anything I tweet, you guys retweet it, you know, and all that. And it's just, it's amazing to see genuine people in this profession to continue to highlight, you know, programs like FAMU and the NFL and things like that. And greatly appreciative. I'm going to go in the house now and look at my bat that's sitting up right there when I walk in the front door.
That's great.
Appreciate you guys for that. And, of course, if you need more FAMU gear, let me know. We'll send it up.
Well, I appreciate you. Take care, Willie.
No
all
problem,
the best
guys.
You and your family.
Good luck,
we'll catch
Willie.
You soon.
See you guys. Have a good evening.
Take care.
That's the great Willie Simmons, and I do mean great. And Bob, as we always say, and Willie, you know, we spend a lot of time with Willie talking about culture and how he's molding great young men and how great they are in their communities and what great students they are and all of those sorts of things. He's great, not only, you know, as a football coach and a mentor, but just a great human being. I mean, all the things that he does and the things that he puts first, this guy's got his priorities in line. He's helping get, you know, all the players on his team making sure that their priorities are in line. Just, it's outstanding. The guy's just outstanding.
So, yeah, we always just marvel at the guy, Chris. I mean, he's a football coach, but just it has nothing to do with football to him. And you can't fake that. And I've said, even at the outset, I mean, we've talked to tons of coaches at whatever level, assistants, head coach, pro, college, it doesn't matter. I have as much respect for that man as any coach I'll ever speak with. And that has to tell you something. I mean, you can't fake that. He really cares about his kids. He has a great family, a lot of support. He's exactly where he needs to be in life. And all we can do is wish him continued luck and thank him for coming on our shows as much as he does, Chris.
That's exactly right. And like I said, I got my FAMU cert on right now out of genuine support for Willie Simmons because he's just an outstanding human being.